Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program on 98.7 Simon. I'm Charlie, your host. The diagnosis of a critical illness is devastating news for anyone. When it happens to a child, it not only affects them personally, but their parents and siblings. Everyone's worlds start to revolve around getting treatments and trying to make that child better. It can be physically and mentally taxing on everyone. That's why organizations like Make-A-Wish are so important to the entire family's health. Granting a wish for a child creates a bright spot in the middle of the most difficult days. But it can't happen without the help of caring people like you. This morning, I'm joined by Michaela Sanders of the Make-A-Wish chapter of Central and Western North Carolina, and Elliot Cappers, a wish kid who is now working to help others, along with his mother, Lauren. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Michaela, I'm going to start with you. Can you please tell our listeners a bit about Make-A-Wish and what it is that you do?
Yeah, of course. So we are part of the largest wish granting organization and grant wishes for children with critical illnesses between the ages of 2.5 and 18.
How do you go about granting wishes?
Yeah, so they it's a referral process. So the parent can refer them, their medical team, social workers, a friend of the family, and then we, you know, work with their medical team to verify and get the wish process going.
You're talking about wishes, and for kids, you know, they may think that they just want, oh, let's say a new toy, but you were talking big dream wishes here. Is any wish too big?
We don't like to say that any wish is too big. Of course, there are, you know, things that we probably couldn't do, like send someone to the moon or anything crazy like that. But there really aren't many that we, you know, can't do if a child dreams it, and our team here at the chapter works super hard to make sure that we are making every child's wish come true.
Tell me just about a few of the different wishes that you've granted.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, you know, before COVID happened, Disney World was our most popular wish. But then we also do wishes, you know, to meet a celebrity, to go on a shopping spree, to have a room makeover. We have four major wish types, and then some kids wish to also, you know, give back with their wish. So we do a variety of different wishes.
I know that sports organizations and places like Disney work with you to make these wishes happen, but there's still a lot of money that goes into granting the perfect wish. So where does that money come from?
We definitely do have incredible partners, but like you said, we still need funding to make all these wishes happen. And that money comes from our amazing donors and supporters who donate time and funds to help us do that. The average cost of a wish for our chapter is $6,000. So we definitely rely on our community and donors and partners to help us make this happen.
And of course, fundraising events. Now, COVID unfortunately had a big impact on your fundraising events. It completely took out the picnic in the plaza that Simon does every summer, and we work really hard all summer to raise money to help grant some wishes, and we're hoping we can bring that back next year. So what have you done through the past year? Have you been able to grant any wishes?
Yeah, absolutely. So COVID definitely put a lot of things on hold for our chapter and, you know, across the country, and we've had to pivot to some virtual event and do things smaller than we normally would, but we have not stopped at all through COVID. We've been granting wishes that are safe to do so since all this started last year. As you can imagine, all travel, you know, was put to a stop. We're slowly getting back to a little bit of that, still not you know, even close to what we used to do, because we still face a lot of restrictions working with, you know, critically ill children. So the majority of our wishes were travel, and now we do a lot of online shopping sprees and room makeovers. Campers have been really popular, so those types, until we can get back to normal.
Well, thankfully, we are starting to be able to bring back some of the events, and one that you brought back in May, and now we're going to be doing it again in October. It's the Trailblaze Challenge. What is that?
Yes, we are so excited to get back to a normal Trailblaze season. Our chapter does 3 hike weekends a year, 2 in May that we just got finished with, and then the 1 in our fall season in October. And the Trailblaze Challenge is an endurance event where participants tackle 28.3 miles of the Foothills Trail in one day. And of course, you know, with that physical test, the true challenge is to raise much needed funds for the children in our area with critical illnesses.
Now I'd like to turn to our other guest this morning, Elliot Cappers and his mother, Lauren. Thank you both for waiting patiently. Who would like to share Elliot's illness journey?
I'll go ahead and take that one. So in 2018, when Elliot was 11 years old, he came to me having noticed a lump at his collarbone. And he, you know, asked me, well, you know, what do I think it was? And I'm a veterinarian, so he had some reason to believe I might be able to figure out what it was. And so I felt it and I said, well, you know, it's a lymph node. I'm not too worried, though, because when you feel a lymph node in an animal, you usually assume it's some type of infection. And it's just draining to that lymph node. So he looked at me and he said, but is it cancer? I said, well, no, of course not. He said, are you sure? I said, well, no, I'm not. And so I sent him off to bed that night and thought, well, I'll just look up what drains to that lymph node, since most of the animals I see don't have clavicles. So I typed in clavicular lymph node and everything that came up was lymphoma. So at that point, we changed course and started getting a little bit more concerned that maybe we had something more in our hands here. And so we had him at the doctor the next day, and by Friday we were at the oncologist. So very quickly we had at least a diagnosis of lymphoma. And again, as a vet, that was not as good a thing, because in animals, they don't survive that. We can treat it and beat it back a little bit and buy them time, but we don't beat it. And so I was, you know, had a very, his dad and I had a very difficult weekend that weekend as we awaited further testing to determine what it was. And we did find out it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, and something animals don't get. And so we were very happy to find that it's something that could be very much treated and that we might beat this. And so that summer began a course of some really intense chemotherapy. They hit kids with far more than what they ever dream of hitting adults with, apparently. So he got a lot of chemotherapy in a short period of time and was pretty sick all summer. But there was kind of one silver lining, and that was Make-A-Wish. Our counselor or social worker came to us and said, you know, Elliot is eligible for a wish. And we were a little surprised because, again, we knew he could beat this. We knew that he might survive this. So we said, well, you know, he probably doesn't get a wish. And they said, no, any child battling a life-threatening illness gets a wish. And so we started meeting with one of their counselors who told Elliot to dream big. And so at first he was thinking of wishes that might be nice for the whole family, but they kind of encouraged him to think more about what he would want, what the greatest, most amazing thing he might be able to think up would be. And so he is a big Cincinnati Reds fan, having family up there, and we have taken him up there most summers and gotten to quite a few Reds games through the years. So he decided to go the route of a sports dream that I'll let him kind of tell people about. But we were excited that, you know, they gave him this opportunity to just dream up the craziest thing he could think of to do as a wish. And he took advantage of that. And it certainly made the last months of treatment more manageable. And soon after he finished his treatment, he was actually able to go and be a part of this amazing wish, which was amazing because our whole family got to be a part of it. And it lifted all of our spirits to see him so happy and to get to see him experience something that money alone couldn't have bought. People love Make-A-Wish, and they go above and beyond in every area to give you more than even what they provide. So when we got to the airport, they gave us upgrades. They let us sit up front, or got us on the plane first. They let the kids come up into the cockpit. When we got our rental car, they upgraded us. Everywhere we turned, as soon as they found out we were part of Make-A-Wish, they wanted to make things even better. So again, it was just kind of an amazing experience, and we'll come full circle when we talk about the Trailblaze Challenge, but it was such a gift to be able to kind of give back after such an amazing gift to us.
One of the things that I do want to reiterate that you pointed out is that Make-A-Wish grants wishes for any child with a critical illness. It doesn't necessarily have to be that it's terminal. It's just you're going through a really, really difficult time. It's hard on the kids. It's hard on the families. And Make-A-Wish comes along and gives you this bright spot in the middle of all that.
Yes, and it was. It was an amazing, a silver lining to what we were dealing with.
And also, Elliot has a sister, right?
He does.
And she got to be a part of this. I mean, I'm sure, you know, for the siblings who are going through this, you know, of course they're worried about their sibling, but it's also a lot of the attention gets put on that kid because they're sick. And so it's hard on the siblings as well. So it's good that, you know, she got to participate and get to almost like she was getting a wish come true for herself as well.
Yes. And even though this was, you know, a sports related thing, they made it wonderful for the whole family. So she got to have her first airplane flight. And I had to assure her that's not how most flights are, with getting
right.
extra cookies
Spoiled.
And Cokes and whatever they wanted. But it was just such an amazing experience for all of us. And we did. We had a wonderful time, even though we weren't the center of the everything. It was made to be very fun event for everybody. And they actually added things like sent us to the aquarium in Cincinnati or in Newport. So there were extra events that were added even to the baseball experience that Reagan got to be a part of as well.
Okay, so I'm going to turn to Elliot a little bit, and I'm going to get it from his point of view a bit. You are a huge Cincinnati Reds fan. When I was growing up, my brother was a Reds fan, so we got to go to some games, and it's so exciting to go to the major league ballpark and the just, you know, the people and the crowd and the noise and stuff. And so you decided to make the team a part of your wish. Tell us your experience from that day.
Yeah, it was a pretty great event. I've always loved baseball. I have always loved the sport, loved the team, the Cincinnati Reds, and just the feel of being out there on the baseball field and just being able to do that on a major league field with major league players is something not many people get to experience. And what they got to do was on another level of not just some people could just buy their way into doing that by being really rich and getting the manager's approval or something like that to head out on the field for a couple of minutes. But Make-A-Wish provided something a lot different than just that. It was far more than just going out on there on the field for a couple of minutes. The manager took on the challenge of keeping me under his wing for the game, and the players kind of kept me in the dugout, kept me entertained in the dugout, that's for sure. And they took on that challenge too, and really just provided something that not a whole load of money could provide. The name Make-A-Wish almost provided more than the money itself.
Elliot's actual wish was to be the manager for the Cincinnati Reds. And when he got there, they had a locker with his name on it and his own uniform. They fit him with every aspect of their normal gear. He got extra hats and gloves and bats. And players came along, and, you know, one player in particular asked him if he had a glove, and when he didn't, he signed one and handed it to him.
Wow.
And so he was given the opportunity to really, I mean, they let him be part of the team. And he really got to play the part of being the manager for the day. The biggest thing is, originally they weren't going to let him even in the dugout for the game, but they made a change at the last minute. And the manager said, no, if he's going to manage, he needs to be in the dugout with me. Mm-hmm. So he got to sit through the whole game there with him and experience it from, you know, right there in the dugout. So it was just a really amazing experience.
So ever since that day, Elliot, you've been working to help other kids get their wishes granted. You realized what an amazing experience this was, and you want this to happen for other kids that are going through a hard time. So what kind of things have you been doing?
So I do a lot of, I've done a lot of talking events for Make-A-Wish. I've done speeches. I've done video promotions during, I think there was a gala a couple year or two ago that I did a big video for, and all these different promotion events. And the biggest one so far has been the Trailblaze Challenge that we did this past May.
So you were going to do it in 2020. You got all signed up, you got all ready, but unfortunately due to COVID that got canceled. I bet that was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing at first until I kind of thought about it and I'm like, okay, that's extra time to prepare, which as a family we definitely needed.
It's a long hike. Make-A-Wish was able to bring it back this May. So tell me about what the experience was like doing the Trailblaze Challenge.
It was certainly a great thing. Me and my sister went in a different group from our mom and my mom and dad, because obviously we did the entire hike. Mom and dad did a total of 16 miles, skipping the second section of the hike. But me and Reagan stayed along with one of the hike leaders, Kurt, who was basically our dad out there on the trail. He could have gone way ahead of us and left us in the dust, but he took on the challenge of staying with us and making sure we were all right on the trail. And we did the total 28 miles, and it's certainly not easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but you have the Wish Kids and the wishes you're granting by being part of that fundraiser on your mind to think about and to spur you on during the hike to get you to that end.
Lauren, how was it for you?
So if anybody could see me and my husband right now, they would understand we are not avid hikers, but that's something for others to know. You don't have to be an avid hiker. We thought a 4-mile hike here and there was just really impressive up to that point. And so we, you know, went through the training, and they can take pretty much anybody and take you from a couch potato pretty much to being able to do this 28.3-mile hike through their training process. And, you know, had we done it a year before, I think we actually probably would have pushed forward and been able to maybe do more of it. But we kind of found ourselves in a physical conditions to say that, yeah, we weren't going to be able to do the whole thing. But again, that's the other wonderful thing about this is they keep telling you it's your journey. And so it really is kind of how much you can do. And I got to tell you, there were people who looked similar to us and were a little bit older who pushed on, and they did the whole 28.3 miles. And so it was kind of an amazing experience to be able to just be a part of that. And the weekend was so well done. And I've just never run across something so well run with so many wonderful volunteers. So I can't say enough about what a wonderful experience it was. And to let others know, you know, get your family involved. We had the opportunity to train as a family. I have a 14 and a 16-year-old. You know, and other parents would probably understand that you rarely get to see 14 and 16-year-olds. And so to have an excuse to get together every other weekend and hike and train was wonderful for our family. And again, you know, to hear a father who went with his 12-year-old son and to say, you know, son, you just did something amazing. You pushed yourself to hike 28.3 miles when you're 12 years old. If you can do this now, there's nothing you can't do. So it's a wonderful thing to just push yourself and challenge yourself with what can I do? And not only that, but you're giving back to such a wonderful cause while you do it. So it was an amazing experience.
And to reiterate, you don't have to be in excellent shape. You don't have to be an avid hiker. You just have to be somebody who really wants to do something to give back to Make-A-Wish, right?
Absolutely. And again, there are plenty of us out there who are kind of slower than everyone else and struggle to make it. But we felt so good that we accomplished what we did. And again, there were those who actually made it all the way, who just, you know, most others would have looked at and said, no way can you hike 28.3 miles in one day. And they did. So it's all in what you push yourself to do. And it was just amazing. So yeah, you don't have to be the image of the perfect hiker for sure.
Michaela, I'm going to turn to you for some information for the October Trailblaze Challenge that's coming up. What do people need to do? How can they get information? Sign up? When is it? What do they need to expect? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course. So the fall hike will be on Saturday, October 16th. It is a true full weekend event, though. So, you know, you'll get there on Friday night, get some rest because it is an early wake-up call that Saturday of hike day. You'll hike all day on Saturday, and then Sunday really makes the entire journey, like Ryan and Elliot said, come, you know, full circle. So, but yeah, October 16th is a big hike day. They can go to our website, trailblazechallenge.org, and sign up for an info meeting. Info meetings are the first step to get signed up. And then from there, people will receive all the details about the fundraising, you know, requirements and what it goes to, the training outlines, and what to expect from the experience as a whole.
Elliot, I'm going to turn back to you for a minute because I want to know, and I'm sure our listeners do too, how are you feeling these days?
I'm feeling a lot better. It's been three years since the chemo treatment, and I'm back to my normal self, that's for sure. After the hike, I wasn't feeling too great, but
that would be anybody.
That was temporary.
So are you able to play sports again and get back to doing the things you were doing before?
Yes, definitely. I currently play for the past 2 years. I've been playing baseball spring and fall and doing swimming winter and summer. I'm on both a club team for baseball and swim, and I'm on a school team for both baseball and swim.
That's wonderful. And you know, so you were 11 when you were diagnosed and you're 14 now?
Yes.
That's great to hear. You are a shining example that having hope and strength can help you get through some of the toughest situations, even at a very young age. But unfortunately, not all of the kids involved with Make-A-Wish have the same outcome. And that's one of the reasons why this program is just so important.
Yeah, the sad reality is that sometimes there are some kids who don't get to reach that end, and that is one of those things that makes Make-A-Wish so important for both kids who do and those who unfortunately aren't lucky enough to see the other side. It's as I said at the preparation speech that I did at the beginning of the Trailblaze Challenge, the best analogy I can come up with for being a cancer patient is being locked into a tunnel by the treatments, by the where all you can see in front of you is the next treatment, the next needle, the next amount of time you have to spend in the hospital. And Make-A-Wish provides a window in that tunnel to see the outside and to live on the outside for just a little bit when some kids don't get to make it back out to the outside. And some do, but even then, it's so important to be able to see that outside. And that's something that Make-A-Wish can provide that's really priceless.
Well, we are super proud of everything that you're doing to help other kids get their wishes granted, because you know just how important that is during your treatment. And you're such a great example of how to find the positive in a tough situation. Do you or your mother, do you have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
No, that sums it about up. But the money that you give to Make-A-Wish, if you decide to give to Make-A-Wish, it's a lot more than just the money you put into it. The money you put into it provides a lot more than just an experience you can buy. It provides a lot more than just the money you put into it. It's the name Make-A-Wish with that money that creates an experience that you can't buy, a priceless experience for these kids that wouldn't be able to see it otherwise.
And again, for me, the Trailblaze Challenge is such an amazing opportunity, not only to, again, raise money for such a worthy and wonderful organization, but again, can be such a blessing to you in the journey that you go through to do the hike. And so again, well done. And it's a wonderful experience. I'd recommend it to anyone.
Michaela, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I can't think of anyone who could, you know, tell it like the Tappers just did, and hope that other people will get signed up as well.
Michaela Sanders of the Make-A-Wish chapter of Central and Western North Carolina, along with Wish Kid Elliot Cappers and his mother, Lauren, thank you all so much for joining me this morning. And we hope we get lots of people signed up to get out there and get some fundraising done and get on that Trailblaze Challenge.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And once again, to find out information on the Make-A-Wish Trailblaze Challenge happening on the weekend of October 16th, and to get signed up, visit trailblazechallenge.org. I'm Charlie, and you're listening to Triad Today on 98.7 Simon.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.